Du lyssnar på en podcast från Hillsong Church Sweden. Vi hoppas att den ska uppmuntra dig och bygga ditt liv. För att få mer information om Hillsong och allt som händer i kyrkan, gå in på hillsong.se.
Hillsong Sweden family! I am so excited to be here. I am so excited to see your faces. I've been eating all of your food, my husband and I. We've had a reindeer and Swedish meatballs, of course. We've had fika, you know. I don't know whether there's a maximum of how much fika you can have, but we've had like fika one, two, three. We're like, it's time for some more fika. We just keep fikaing all over the place. But we're so excited to be here with you today. I just want to honor Andreas and Lena. I love those guys so much. When you talk to any of our lead pastors around the world, there is so much regard and respect for them. And I have that too because they have pioneered in the faith for decades. And they are still after God's heart. They're still after his things. And I just can't leave them without feeling encouraged. And just spending some time with your team, the kindness and encouragement that's there. I think it starts with them. And also Andreas cracks me up because he's just very funny. Even when he's not trying to be funny. But he lived in the United States, so I think he's a brother from another mother. He's a brother from another mother. But you guys can take your seats. As Andre said, I stepped into this new role. And so I've been traveling to, you know, our different locations around the world, different Hillsongs. And we were in Amsterdam and London, and then we got here to Sweden. And my faith is just lifted. As I'm seeing what God is doing in our church, my faith is just lifted. You know, we've received a lot of prophecies over the last 4 years. I don't know whether people just think Hillsong needs some prophecies, but people are like, I just want to encourage you. Let me give you a word. And, you know, there's been themes of just revival and restoration and rebuilding. And as I go and see our churches, I see that God is fulfilling the promises that he's made to our house. You know, I started in 2020, I was camping on Jeremiah. I was reading Jeremiah 20. 29 and 30 and 31, 32, 33. And God is speaking. He's speaking to the Israelites, and they're talking about how they're going to be in a time of exile for 70 years. And it starts heavy, but then, you know, Jeremiah, the words start becoming words of hope about what God is going to do. And I felt then in 2020, it was a word for our church. It was a word for Hillsong. And I've held on to them for the past few years. And, you know, so Jeremiah 29, you know, the one that I feel like we read a lot, it talks about, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And later on it says, when I bring my people Israel and Judah back from captivity and restore them to the land I gave their ancestors to possess. And as I've been in the different locations around the world, there has been testimonies of God giving land to our churches. So Pastor Andreas was talking about how you guys got that Stockholm City venue in the face of opposition, that God gave you that venue. And when we're in Amsterdam, they also had a miracle story of getting a venue. And London, they thought they were going to have to give over the Dominion Theater. And they walked inside of this meeting and there was a turnaround. And as I see those things, I go, God is fulfilling the promises that he's made to our church. In Jeremiah 30, it talks about, from them will come songs of thanksgiving and the sounds of rejoicing. I will add to their numbers. He says their community will be established before me. And as I sat here, I was there at Kingdom Builders on a Thursday night, and even here today, and I hear songs that have come out of this house. I go, God is fulfilling his promises. New songs are being birthed out of this house. God is doing a good work in our church. He's bringing breakthrough. He's bringing restoration. He's going to revive in our homes. He's going to revive in our neighborhoods, relationships, career, church, and this nation. So I just get excited as I go from Portugal, as I go to Latin America, as I come here to Sweden from New York. God is at work in his church. Amen. So I'm so excited to be here today. So we're traveling more and more, which if you knew me, I've had a deep fear of flying. you know, my like for years. And it was like God knew that, but it was part of my calling. Now I have to travel all over the world. So it's training me out of my fear of flying. But so I've had a lot of flights, and I've had to fly to Sydney because that's, you know, the motherland, as we call it. And Sydney from New York it's a very long flight. I don't know whether, is it from here as well? Yeah, getting to Sydney is just, I wish we could just move the headquarters somewhere else. Maybe Sweden, that's easier, that's an easier flight for me. But you know, you fly like, I fly 5 hours and I go to Los Angeles, and then from Los Angeles, there's like a 16 hour flight. And for somebody that's afraid of flying, that is a very tough journey. But I had one a few months ago, and I actually hadn't been to Sydney in years since the pandemic. And it was one of those flights where just everything went wrong. Do you know what I mean? And it was going to be such a momentous trip. I had every hour planned for when I landed. I was going to utilize every single hour really, really well. And I'm trying to check in as I'm going to the airport, and I can't check in. You know, it's like you have to see them at the front desk when you go. So you know, I get there and I wait in line, and it's chaos in Newark, New Jersey that week. I don't know what was happening, but just all the airlines were messed up. So there's just tons of people in the airport. You know, I get up front and I wait in a line, and the guy, I said, hey, it says I can't check in on my app. And he doesn't say anything. He just points to another line. He just goes, go over there. So I go to another line. I wait. The person helping, she's spending about 40 minutes per person. I'm not kidding. 40 minutes per problem. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm going to miss my flight. And then like she just leaves, like no announcement, just leaves. And we're all just standing there like what's happening? Like no one's gonna make an announcement. So I go find somebody, they bring somebody else. She's like, I don't even work for this airline. They just pulled me from another part of the airport. So I'm nervous. So she's tapping away. And then I just heard her go, uh-oh, oh, I think I deleted your ticket. So she like deleted my ticket. And I'm like, hey, my flight is in 30 minutes. Like, it's supposed to leave in 30 minutes. Can you just, she was like, she brings her manager over. They're like, okay, you can go. Hopefully it'll work out for you. You know, so I'm going in. I somehow make it on the plane. And then I see the flight attendants. They're whispering amongst each other. Like, they're just, that's just bad when they're looking worried. You know what I mean? For somebody that's anxious about flying, when you see the flight attendants looking worried, you know, be worried. And so they're looking worried. And then all of a sudden I see some guys are being escorted off the plane. And I'm like, what happened? And she's like, oh, he verbally assaulted one of our flight attendants, so we're delayed. You know, so we're sitting there and they escort the guys out. They're yelling, you know, I'm sure people are videoing for TikTok and Instagram because it's wild. And and they're like, okay, we're ready to take off. And then they're like, we can't take off yet. There's a woman that refuses to go into her seat. And the woman goes, I'm not taking off. I'm catching a connecting flight to Sydney. And I'm like, oh, she's on my flight. She goes, I'm not sitting in my seat until you tell me that they're going to hold that plane for me. And they're like, ma'am, you're actually going to make us miss the connecting flight by not sitting down. Ma'am, please sit down. And she goes, no, I'm not sitting down until you tell me they're going to hold the plane for me. And so the flight attendants, they talk, and then they show her something on their phone. And without a word, she just goes and sits down. So I go, what did they show her? You know, like, are they holding the plane? So we get on the flight and we get to LA. They did not hold that plane for us. I don't know what they showed her. But that plane was gone. That plane was gone. And on the flight, I got this message, and it said, look, we've rebooked you for Qantas. Like, you know, so you can get in the next flight. And I go, good for you, United. Oh, I wasn't going to say the airline, but I did say it. Okay, so I said, good for you, United. They're being, you know, proactive. So I said, hey, they said they booked a different flight for me. What do I do? And the woman goes, you need to run. It's all the way on the other side of LAX. And so I run for about 25 minutes through dark alleys. It's like 3 a.m. in the morning. I finally get there for the Qantas flight. And he goes, ma'am, you're not on this flight. I said, what do you mean? I said, this shows. It shows. He goes, no, they made a reservation, not a booking. You can't get on this flight. And long story short, guys, he goes, you need to go back to United. I'm like, I just ran all the way from United. He's like, no, you need to go back there. I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. Long story short, it was supposed to take 21 hours. It ended up taking me 50 hours to get to Sydney, Australia. And I would like to say I took it like a very holy woman of God, but I did not. I had a full meltdown in the airport. I mean, all of it. I And I'd like to say I traveled that part of the trip well, but I didn't, guys. I wasn't very Christian about it. And so I walk all the way back. And there's a guy that he ends up actually being a turning point for me. But he's so chipper. He's so happy at 3 a.m. in the morning. And he's like, oh, you missed your flight, you know? And he's like, you know, just, you know, even the way he was typing in the keyboard was happy, you know? And I just... And it just made me angrier. You know what I mean? Like, you just, somebody needs to get my anger. And he just is like, okay, so you're not leaving tonight. It's going to be a whole another 24 hours before you can get another flight. So we booked a hotel for you by the airport. And I was like, okay. I go, where is my luggage? And he goes, great question. I don't know. So he's like, you probably go downstairs to the luggage place. If they're not, come here early tomorrow and someone will have it, you know. And you know, he's just being really chipper and I'm just giving him one word answers. And I'm just so angry. Like, just somebody needs to get my anger. And so I don't say anything. I don't even really look at him. You know, I just, you know, grab the stuff they give me, my like vouchers, and I just go to hotel. And I just felt convicted. God just goes, what if that was your one and only interaction with that person on this earth? And just like that, I felt convicted. And the next day, I said, I'm going to get to the airport early, and hopefully I see this guy. And I get there, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, it's you. What is your name again? Delano. Oh, my goodness. And I'm like, asking him a story. He must have been like, this is like a completely different person than the person I saw yesterday. I was like, thank you so much for all that you're trying. We took pictures. I think I have pictures of them. And, you know, there it is, Delano there. And I'm like, let's go find my luggage. Like, let's just, you know, go do it and all that kind of stuff. God bless and, you know, all of that. And it made me just think of traveling well. You know, sometimes we go through life, there are going to be good seasons and bad. There's going to be opposition, but also rainfall seasons. But we need to travel well in the face of opposition. And that's what I want to talk with us about today, is traveling well. I'm going to read out of Mark 6, and Jesus, he's sending out the disciples, and it says, calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were instructions: take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts, wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake off the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out demons and anointed many people with oil and healed them. So Jesus, he's sending out the disciples to replicate his ministry. He's sending them out on a journey, sending them out on travels. So he called them, but then he's also giving them instructions to equip them for what he's called them to step into. And it's just like that in our lives. God has commissioned and called every single one of us. And there are going to be good seasons, hard seasons, but he wants you to travel well. He wants to set you up for wins. Whether it's blessings or challenges, rainfalls or desert seasons, he is always with you. And he wants you to learn how to travel well. I've titled this message, Tips for Your Travel. Tips for your travel. Say it to your neighbor, tips for your travel. And I want to talk about three travel trips. That's a tongue twister. Three travel trips to travel well. Travel tip number one, bring the essentials. Bring the essentials. It is essential to go with others. Don't go alone. When you step inside of your calling, Jesus sends them out two by two. Don't do it by yourself. Be in community. It provides support and company and counsel for you. And one of the commentators I was reading, it said he sent them out actually with people with complementary gifts to the ones that they had. Don't just get people that are exactly like you. They're just going to say all the things that you want to hear or that you think around you. Bring people around you that are going to be a compliment to you. You know, my husband, he's sitting right there. We're going to be celebrating 20 years of marriage this year. We made it. And I'm Nigerian. I was born in New York, but I'm 100% Nigerian. And when I was growing up, my mom, like when I was 12 or something, she said to me and my siblings, she said, if you don't marry somebody from our tribe in Nigeria, I am not going to eat. So she said that when I was 12, just to lay it ahead of time, you know, lay expectations. And so when I was 20 and decided I wanted to marry this English, German, French, American, I mean, it was just the most opposite thing of our tribe in Nigeria. She was like, I'm going to have to take this to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to need to take this to the Lord in prayer. And we got married, and it's worked out, hasn't it? Hasn't it? And we have been a compliment to each other. And don't worry, my mom is eating. She got over it. She's still eating now today. It's fine. But he's been a blessing to me, and he's not like me. We're very different, come from different cultures. But that's why it's worked. There's been a compliment there. And we need to get people around us that are a compliment to us. It's essential to put on his armor. It's essential to put on God's armor. You know, Ephesians 6, it talks about the armor of God. And it's said that putting on God's armor is essentially the same as putting on a new self. We're meant to put on a new self. We will face opposition, and it's easy for us to try to rely on human resources to fight the opposition, but we need to use godly resources. And that's what happens as we start putting on the armor of God. We draw our strength from him, and we're empowered through our union with him. Equip yourself with God's armor, not your own. Sometimes I think we add, you know, we arm ourselves with the things that we think just, that are maybe natural to us for our protection, for offense and defense. Sometimes it's ego or pride, or sometimes it's drinking, anything to help you escape, food, relationships, approval, people pleasing, influencers. How many followers have I gotten on Instagram? Being self-defensive, worldly measures of success, running from reality. How high can I climb on this corporate ladder? We use all of those things to arm ourselves for protection, for defense, for offense. But nothing is as sufficient as God's armor. And we need to put that on ourselves. The belt of truth, be a person of integrity. The breastplate of righteousness, do the right thing. Be loyal to God's principles. The gospel of peace, be at peace with God and men. Reconcile with God and reconcile with men. Some of you need to walk inside a journey of reconciliation. A shield of faith. Rely and trust on God. It will help you extinguish flaming arrows. The helmet of salvation. Salvation saves. The sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Know and study his word. Meditate on it day and night. You know, some of us, we need to continue growing. Like, the way that we're studying the word now should look different than it was 5-10 years ago. We need to be going deeper and deeper into his word. Take it to another level. Learn his word. It's actually one of the only armors that is it helps you on the defensive, but also the offensive. Helps you on the attack as you're facing opposition. And then pray. Prayer seals the deal. Put on each piece of the armor with prayer. Prayer binds it all together. There is power in prayer. God answers prayers. He performs miracles through prayers. There are places that you might not be able to physically go or get into, but God can send his army there through prayer. Barriers that you might not be able to break, but with God, prayer, all things are possible. You know, some of us, I think we look at our cities and we don't like what we see. But are we spending time on our knees praying for breakthrough? We look at our workplace and don't like what we see. Are we spending time praying for God to bring transformation across it? We look at our relationships, our spouses, our kids, things that we don't like. Are we fighting those battles in prayer? You can command Yemen from your bedroom and bring movement and change there. Let's be in constant prayer. And I'm just believing as we do that he's going to continue to break barriers, do miracles, do beyond what we could ever imagine is possible. He's going to break new ground and perform miracles. But let's be an army of faithful believers in this house and storming heaven in prayer. Get his armor on you. Take off those humanly fleshly armor. I believe his armor is actually very light. But it's more than enough for what we need to face. Travel tip number 2, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Keep your heart pure. And that's easier said than done, to keep our hearts pure. You know, Jesus, he's warning his disciples about the yeast, and he talks about be careful of the yeast of the Pharisees. And, you know, theologians and all that, they argue about what he means there, but I saw one thought, and it talked about that they feel God is actually talking about the heart, that we need to be careful of the yeast that we allow to permeate in our heart, because it drives everything. It drives your path. And so quickly, you can start really well-intentioned, and then all of a sudden, your motivation for doing something can change without you even looking. All of a sudden, maybe you're driving just because of ego, but it started well-intentioned. We need to check that not the wrong things don't take root in our hearts. So it's important to do that work in prayer. Let's keep checking. God, why am I doing this? Is everything all right with my heart? Check my heart, because your heart navigates you. It directs you on your path. So if your heart isn't in the right place, your path is not in the right place. We need to make sure we're checking our heart. Don't let the wrong things drive your heart. Keep your hearts tender. When your heart is tender, you're able to see people. You see the need. It enables you to be empathetic and sympathetic. These are the ingredients that we need to be compassionate people. Compassion is an essential ingredient. Loaves and fishes is one of my favorite miracles that Jesus performs. And it says he saw a large crowd and had compassion on them. Compassion, it compels action. Compassion compels miracles. He saw that, and then he worked that miracle, and all of those people were fed, and there was overflow. So we need to keep tender hearts. I think, you know, it's been a trying time past few years, pandemic, all sorts of stuff are happening in our world, in our cities. And it's easy to start to try to self-protect. Like you start maybe letting your heart get maybe a little more cynical, a little more hardened, because you feel maybe that protects you from bad news and being brokenhearted. But cynicism, it's a killer. Cynicism compromises compassion. Resentment in heart, it compromises compassion. We need to work with God to uproot those things when they're happening in our hearts, because we need tender-hearted people, men and women of God. And I think some of us, like we're sitting here and you're nursing actually a bit of resentment, and you need to walk on a journey of forgiveness of others, because it's actually holding you back. Some of you are walking around here wounded, and people don't even know it. You're internally wounded. And I believe God wants to heal you. We need to bring those wounds to him. You need to remain in him, and then let time do its work, because it's not easy when you're nursing around with a wound. You need to remain in him and let time do it, and give him time to work it through. Let's look after our heart. Travel tip number 3, do not overpack. And the team could come back up. Don't overpack. My name is Talu, and I'm an overpacker. My husband knows. You know, things are so crazy. It's usually because I procrastinate to pack, I wait till last minute, and then everything's coming with me. And the words Brett hates hearing, it's like an hour before we need to go to the airport, and I go, do you have any room in your luggage? He hates that line, because he knows things have gotten out of hand, have gotten very out of hand. But leave the unnecessary behind. Leave the unnecessary behind. He says, take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake off the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. First of all, I love that except for a staff. They were stepping into a new calling. And he's telling them to take a new tool for the new calling. And some of us, I think, we're sometimes using old tools or outdated tools for new seasons. And God is calling us to use a new thing. Take nothing except. Second, he says, if they reject you, shake off the dust. And I spent some time looking at that phrase, shake off the dust. It refers to a ceremonial gesture that means one has no further responsibility or relationship with places or people involved. The Jews, when they returned to the Holy Land, they removed the dust from their feet so they wouldn't defile the land. The Message translation, it says, shrug your shoulders of it. Meaning, don't take it with you. Don't take the remnant of that rejection of my gospel with you. Leave it behind. Don't let it bother you. And in this case, Jesus is talking to the disciples that are out there giving out the gospel. Like, if people reject you and reject my gospel, just move forward. Shake that off. But it came impressed upon me that some of us are stepping into a new season, and we haven't shaken off the residue of the old season. And it's actually holding us back. Maybe it's a failure or a mistake or your past. Maybe it's insecurities, the negative narratives that people have spoken over you. Or maybe like you, like me, I found myself, you know, we had a lot happen in New York. I found myself standing surrounded by rubble. And you go on this journey and do what you can. But then you give it to God and let him do what you can't. And I found him saying, you're carrying around these, they're actually burdens. You're carrying around the remnants of the past, and it's holding you back from what I want to take you into. And I need you to bring it to me. I need you to shrug your shoulders of it. I need you to shake off that dust and step into the promise that I have for you. Some of us we're traveling heavy, but he wants you to travel light. You're carrying around baggage, or things are imprisoning you, and he wants to break every single one of those chains off of you. God is doing a new thing. And I'm so encouraged seeing that here as I set foot in Hillsong Sweden. Your campuses. God is doing a new thing. Isaiah 43, he says, but now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Then he says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness, as streams in the wasteland. He is doing a new thing, and some of us are traveling heavy and we need to be traveling light. He's asking us to leave some things behind. And I don't know what that might be for you, but I'm believing that God wants to break every single chains. He wants to release prisoners in this house today. And he's just saying, just drop that weight. Bring me those ashes and I'll make something beautiful of it. Luke 4:18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Hillsong Sweden family, he has anointed you and I to proclaim the good news. To proclaim the good news and the gospel in our streets, in our families, in our relationships, in our careers, all over this nation. He has anointed us to proclaim the good news, to set captives free, to bring freedom to others. But I'm telling you, we can't preach it until we live it. And God wants to deliver you and I from some of us that are in bondage from chains today. He wants to bring breakthrough across this house, a fresh revival across this nation, but we just need to be willing to shake off the dust and give it to him. I want to encourage you, family, let's travel well as we step inside of what he has commissioned us to do. Let's go with others, okay? Let's arm ourselves with the full armor of God. Let's guard those hearts, and let's shake off that dust and let him break every single chains. Let's travel light, let's travel right, and let's travel well. Why don't you stand to your feet?
Du har lyssnat till en podcast från Hillsong Church Sweden. Om du vill veta mer om våran kyrka eller om våra söndagsmöten, surfa in på hillsong.se.